Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yossi angles it to the right corner. Austin Watson there to the side of the net. Trying to put it in front by Sisson. Oh. And he tipped it in. Nick Bonino in front. It's 5-5. Yossi deals it back for Orlov. Yarncroke got in the way. Yarncroke spins on that left board to the blue line. Ekholm, the shot. He scored. Matthias Ekholm gives the Predators back to me.
Fun night at Bridgestone Arena that night back on October 10th. Man, that seems like a long, long, long time ago. Predators skate away with the 6-5 victory over the Washington Capitals. Back here on the Predators season recap show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Darren McFarland and the two voices you just heard in that clip, Pete Weber and Hal Gill alongside. The Predators were down 4-2 in that contest after 40 minutes, and they came back and scored four goals in the third period, including those two goals you just heard in about 25 seconds between Nick Bonino and Matthias Ekholm for that to be the game winner. Let's bring in Predators head coach John Hines. He is on the line with us. Coach, good evening. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. You know, we were talking in the first segment of this show about the bad patch that happened last night. If you're watching the Carolina and Bruins game, it was a 7-minute bad patch in the third period with Carolina up 2-0, where they gave up four goals and it cost them the game and more really probably cost them the series. Unfortunately, I know you weren't here the whole time, but we talked a lot about bad patches with the Predators this season where it would be a 5, 6, 7, 8 minute stretch of bad things happening, and a lot of times it would cost them the game. How do you change that as a head coach and your staff? How do you approach something like that?
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing is really understanding that it's an issue, number one. And not. I think when you're looking to change things and find ways to win, you know, you're not getting sidetracked with all the minutia. I think you got to really cut the fat off the bone of what are the issues with the particular team, or what are the issues that this particular team needs? And that's one of them. It's just mental toughness, mental focus, competitive stamina, being harder for longer, smarter for longer. Those are things that we have to be better at. And there's a lot of good things going on with our team. But, you know, moving forward between now and the start of next season, it's going to be, you know, some individual conversations with certain guys about levels that they need to get to be able to perform the way we need to perform. And I think going into training camp, we're going to have a pretty heavy emphasis on exactly those areas of doing things the right way all the time and having good habits and having some more discipline and you know, the importance of the little things matter. When you have a good team or you have a talented team, it comes down to details, it comes down to execution, it comes down to discipline, and those are things we're going to continue to improve on.
And on the flip side, just like that clip we just played, never thinking you're out of a game. You know, they're down 4-2, and they come back with a big third period. And there's just certain teams you watch, if you feel like they never feel like they're out of it. Can you coach that mentality? Is that just have to be in the DNA of your room? How do you get that type of mentality into your room?
Well, I think it goes hand in hand with what we just talked about. You know, if you're never out of a game, you're a mentally tough group. You do the things that are necessary to get back in the game. And I think it's all connected, to be very honest with you. It's not, you know, one thing that a coach does. It's, I think, the culture of the group that you have. It's what you emphasize. It's what you instill. It's what the players believe in. It's what your leadership group pushes. It's all connected, but we're all talking about the same thing here.
Hey, Coach, it's Hal here. I just want to ask you, going into whatever you call that, training camp or the quick brush-up that you had, you know, basically you were trying to find chemistry with lines. Coming into this next training camp next year, you've made it pretty clear that there's going to be battles for jobs. So how much can you look at how the team played and individual performance and evaluating players for what they've done in that series, and how much can you carry forward with that? And then how much are you looking for in trying to get players to compete for jobs next year?
That's a great question, Hal, and I think it's a complex answer, but I'll give you a, let me try to take it step by step with you. So coming off the pause, you know, going into a playoff series and not having known the access to gyms, exercise, skating, COVID related issues, you know, you're kind of going into the training camp like, all right, let's try to pick up where we left off, and let's try to get some chemistry, instill the systems, make sure that we're ready and healthy when we go into the bubble to be able to play. So to the players' credit, I think the training camp was very good. They did a very good job. We came in and we performed pretty well, but we didn't perform well enough. So coming into the next training camp, now that we have an off season, we have dates, we know the players are skating, there's a legitimate off season program. Now the mindset shifts. The mindset shifts now to, we're coming into training camp to compete. And it's not the resume, it's not your stature, it's not your contract, it's what you do. We got to live on today's news, because although we feel good about what we did and we played some pretty good hockey, we're not where we want to be. So the level of intensity, competing for jobs, earning what you get, all those components are going to be right into this training camp. We got to come back way more fit, more intense training camp. And the competitiveness within the team for jobs, for playing time, needs to be increased. And it's not what you've done in the past, not what your contract is. It's, we got to live on today's news.
Living on today's news, Coach. That's always great. And now you go into a new season where you might actually have your first true Predators training camp. Have you already planned it all out?
Haven't planned it out yet, only because we don't know, obviously, the specific times and how long it's going to be and when it's going to be. But I think probably the most important thing is the mentality prior to coming into camp is the most important thing. And the guys knowing, okay, here's what to expect. This is where we're going. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're physically harder, mentally harder, ready to play, ready to compete. And that's, you know, it's kind of like I said at the end, you know, I think a lot of teams have to go through different situations before they can win. And our group is physical toughness, mental toughness, competing, nothing's handed to you. Not what you've done, it's what you're doing. And like, let's play some hockey and let's make sure that we're ready to compete at a level night in and night out to give ourselves a chance to win every night.
Predators head coach John Hines on the line with us. The news coming that one of your staff members will not return, Dan Muse. What are you looking for on your staff? What is that when you're the head coach? What are you looking for to help you out with the day-to-day activities?
Yeah, I think it's important for a staff to have. Well, one, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that I'm disappointed that Dan's not back. I think that his work ethic, effort level, commitment, loyalty, knowledge of the game was top shelf. Unfortunately, when things don't go well, you know, changes have to be made. But I think Dan did an excellent job and gave everything he could to the Predators organization. And I think the Predators organization is better for having Dan Muse than they were prior to that. So I know he's going to be very successful in his next endeavor. I think the most important thing, you know, with our staff is just getting to know the team and getting to know the staff. I think you need to have some variety, just whether it's experience, playing experience, NHL experience, people that can push you as a head coach, people that can push the players the right way to reach higher levels is something that I'm, you know, in talking with David and our staff, I think that's, we don't have anyone in mind at this point, but I think those are the criteria that we're looking for.
Hey, Coach, I got to ask you, this has got to be the toughest thing to go through. You know, you're coming to a new team. You're going through unprecedented times where you're trying to get a team together. Now you're sitting back. I know David Poile is one of the hardest working guys you'll ever meet. Have you had a chance to kind of take a break, or has it been right back to work and talking with David and trying to figure out the next step?
No, we've gone right back to work, Hal. It's obviously when you have a coaching change, it's not a time where you can take a little bit of a breather. I think it's important that we get this right and do our due diligence and try to find and research, you know, people that we think are going to make our team better. And I think the most important thing right now is to really dig in on this and maybe take some time once we can get this thing settled. Take a week or two to kind of decompress and then get rejuvenated to get back at it. But right now we're trying to get this right.
I know the result wasn't there, but did you enjoy the bubble? Did you enjoy that experience?
I did. You know, it was really good. I think the league did a really good job, and the atmosphere was great around the hotel and the convenience, and there was not a lot of hiccups and glitches. And you know, you've been around a long time too. I don't think none of us have experienced something like this, but to have the opportunity to go through it and see how well it was done, and it was pretty impressive. And I think it was a good experience, I think, to be in the bubble, but I think just also another experience with the team, just to see different things, how they react to different situations, how we responded, how we played, what we did. It's all feedback and information to be able to get better and move forward.
How about playing back-to-back games in the playoffs? That had to have been a little bit different.
Yeah, the only good thing, you know what the nice thing with that was a little different? I mean, there's no travel.
Right.
And we had noon games. So it was one of the ones I think that it didn't have much effect on us, only because, you know, you're done by 3:30, 4 o'clock. By the time the guys unwind, they have a couple meals in them, it's like 9, 10 o'clock. So if you're going to play in back-to-backs, it's probably the best situation you could play in.
No doubt. All right, last thing, leave us with this, and I brought this up at the beginning, and since Hal played for so long in the league, I said, take us into that room, what that's like. There's only one team that's happy when it's all over, the end-of-the-year meetings that you and David Poile talked about in the press conference this week, and talking with the players. How do you approach that as a head coach? What are you looking for? What kind of feedback are you looking to get from the players in those exit interviews?
Well, I think right when you're done, you know, it's difficult unless you win. Everyone's emotional right away, and they're so quick because the players are getting out of there. So a lot of it is more of a touch base, any major issues from us to them or them to us, and just a feel on what they're doing and where they're going. And in the next week or two, there'll be more individual follow-up, meaning certain players need to be challenged. Certain guys, you know, how is this player going to get better? How is this going to be improved? Feedback for us as an organization or coaches, that I think it's important that you give the players an opportunity to reflect, and you have an opportunity to reflect and talk to the staff. And then you can have some, I think, much more substance to your conversation. And that'll happen over the next 10 to 12 days here, you know, as far as what we need to do better as an organization in the players' minds or coaches, but also what we expect moving forward for them, whether it's roles or conditioning or where we need to see them coming back. That's the conversation that will happen in the next week or two.
Will you watch the playoffs, or when your team is done, you're like, no, I'm out?
No, I watch. I mean, I think you watch different series and different things. Now you're kind of, you watch, it's hockey. You want to watch, you want to learn. It's competitive situations, but we'll definitely watch it more in depth, like as coaches or a staff, you know, figure out what series we want to watch or particular teams or things we want to do. But we'll definitely watch them in depth as we move forward here in the offseason.
Good deal. Hey, we appreciate your time on this Tuesday evening. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the playoffs, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me, and Be well and look forward to talking to you soon.
You do the same.
Thanks, that is Coach.
That is Predators head coach John Hines here on the season recap show. We'll step away. We'll come back with more here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.